right, joined by the voice of the San Francisco Giants, that is Dwayne Kuiper. Dwayne, I love July 4th weekend for many reasons. One, you got a good handle on what the league looks like. It's the big holiday of the country, and it's America, it's apple pie, it's baseball and things like that, and baseball really fits in. For you, July 4th, what comes to mind when I say July 4th in baseball?
Well, you're right. I mean, as a player, we had two really large crowds when I was in Cleveland. It was opening day, and you could expect anywhere from 60 to 85. And then the next one was 4th of July. And it wasn't always necessarily on the 4th of July, but it was always maybe the fireworks the day before the 4th of July. And one of those 2 days was either you were going to have another 40 to 80,000. And the other dates we don't really want to talk about so much because the crowds were a little less than that. But we always had some really fun 4th of July games in Cleveland. And on occasion, you'd have a doubleheader on the 4th of July, which, you know, when I was young, doubleheaders were great. When I was a little older, I didn't really like them that much because maybe you didn't play the second game, and you like to play in all the games, right? So so that was 4th of July baseball-wise. As a kid growing up on the farm, the 4th of July meant that we were going to go to the parade in the city of Racine, the large metropolis of about 100,000 people. And anytime you're involved in a parade, you need to have floats. And you have to have wagons to make floats. So my dad would lend out the 4 or 5 wagons he had. And we would go to the parade and we would look for our wagons, right? And see what people had on our wagons. And, you know, you could always recognize the wagons just by the tires and by what was underneath them. So you know, those were the fun memories. But it still is a great day for baseball. And unfortunately, not every city can host a 4th of July game. You know, San Francisco, we don't get one this year because we'll be in San Diego. So that's a little. But hey, look, there's nothing you can do about that.
Boy, nice to talk with Dwayne about July 4th. Yeah, the other part of July 4th for me is the uniforms. Now, I remember back, you know, you played a doubleheader. Did you play with wool uniforms, or was that gone by when you got there?
No, actually, the only time I played in wool uniforms was my first year in the minor leagues. I was in Reno, which was 1972. And we got the hand-me-downs from the big league club, and they were wool. And I remember that some of those uniforms, because the names of the players were stitched in, and some of those uniforms are very valuable. But they were hand-me-downs. And it really wasn't until my second year in pro ball, we were in San Antonio, that we got the knits, you know, the double knits, which were a lot more fun than wearing the wools. I mean, can you imagine wearing the wools in the Valley? I mean, we played in all those towns, Fresno. You know, just you go down Highway 99, whenever there was a town larger than 20,000, they had a team, and it got hot. So the wolves were a little rough, but I only had them the 1 year, and the 1 year was obviously plenty enough.
You know, I hear the stories about the Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, and of course, I remember opening days. You're right, Frank Robinson and Eckersley falling down the stairs, and you know all that kind of stuff. But what was it like to be in that park, really, with like 80,000 people?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty amazing to look around and see that there was not an empty seat in the place, and you knew you weren't going to see it a lot. You know, and I mentioned the 2 days, opening day and 4th of July, and then there was always a series against the Yankees. There was a talk show guy that ended up here, Pete Franklin. And Pete came up with this night. It was called the I Hate the Yankee Hanky Night. And they would hand out hankies that had disparaging remarks about the Yankees, right? And then they would draw like 50, 60,000 people, and they'd all wave the hankies. But the problem was is the Yankees were really good, and we weren't. You know, and they had Reggie Jackson and Lou Piniella and, you know, Thurman Munson, and it goes on and on and on. You know, these were the teams that were winning you know, playoff games and in some cases the World Series. But that was a big night. I hate the Yankee hanky night. And to see that stadium full was pretty extraordinary. But on the other hand, if they drew 20,000 people, it didn't look like there was anybody there. Len Barker's perfect game, that's 7,500 people. Well, 7,500 people looks like a spring training game where there's 1,000 people there. Now, they made a lot of noise, but that's the downside of a big, big, big stadium, is you're not going to get big, big crowds all the time. You know what, Marty? They did. You know, in the late 40s and early 50s, they filled it up all the time. So it was possible to do that, but the 70s, it wasn't happening.
No, I was just going to go there with you, with Bill Veeck and bringing in Larry Doby and Satchel Paige. What a pennant race in 48 and 49 and 47 and all these years. Bill Veeck was unbelievable filling that place up. And before you had Municipal Stadium as a solo park, they had another park, League Park, where they'd play during the week. And then they'd come out to Municipal Stadium on the weekends.
Yeah. And, you know, that was, when you think about it, having two different stadiums, you know, the big guys come in, you play in the big stadium, the other guys come in, you play in the other one. You didn't have to play in Cleveland for very long in the 70s to know the history of those teams in the 40s and 50s. And they were extraordinary teams. You know, they had the Big Four. The Big Four were unbelievable. And there was a time when we would see the Big Four coming in for old-timers games all the time. Of course, none of them are alive anymore. But they were all just terrific guys and great stories. And I do kind of miss that. We don't know how fortunate we are that our living Hall of Famers are around all the time. We take it for granted, and we shouldn't. And I don't think our guys do, but we get to see them all the time.
Yeah, early win, Bob Lemon, Mike Garcia, and the great Bob Feller. Great staff of the Cleveland Indians. Joanne, were you ever in a pennant race in Cleveland? Did you ever?
No.
I mean, no? By July 4th, it was over?
Well, not over. We had the 1981 strike year. Everybody was kind of in it because, remember, they had split seasons. And that was really odd. My very first year that I got called up in September in 1974, the day I got there, the Indians were three games out of first place. And we were hosting the Baltimore Orioles in a four-game series, and the Orioles swept them. And that was the seriously good Orioles. So that was really the only one. And then the next one I got involved in was in 82 with the Giants, where how that team did it, I have no idea, but they did stay in it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of the team you were just talking about, Steve Hargan maybe, Sonny Siebert. Were they still there then, the pitchers?
No, we Gaylord was actually the horse, and his brother Jim. And it was kind of like it was all Gaylord and then, you know, keep your fingers crossed. But it was a great team to break in with. And as a matter of fact, that 74 season, Frank Robinson joined us for the pennant run. But that's a whole new other story because he ended up being the manager the very next year.
One last thought for you. July 4th for me is always the time the teams start to separate after July 4th. You know, the teams that have been around for a couple of months, 3 months, all of a sudden things happen right after July 4th.
Well, July 4th, you know, you're very close to 3 weeks away from the trading deadline. And it's that two-week period, even three, where it's going to determine what your general manager is going to do. Is he going to acquire people if he can? Or, you know, are you going to be sellers, which nobody wants to be sellers. But, you know, some teams obviously are in that position. It's kind of interesting now. Everybody was talking about Tampa Bay. Well, they're going to sell everything. Well, they're starting to win now. So it's a great time, but it's also a really tough time. And it's a time where the general managers really want the club to play like he, in this case, Brian Sabian, thinks that they're going to play, and then he can make a decision.
Boy, what a pleasure. Always fun to have you on the show, really. Always fun to do this.
4th of July, Marty, doesn't get any better than that.
Boy, that's baseball, as someone once said. All right, more coming up on KBR 680, the sports leader.